Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
People often say to me, I don't want to go to church and hear some preacher talk about my sins. Okay. My answer is, it is better for you to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and to confess your sins, receive forgiveness and pardon, than it is for you to hide your sin until the judgment day and have God shout it from the housetops so that everyone knows what's been keeping you apart. Psalms 46:6 tells us that he lifts his voice and the earth melts. It is indeed a fearful thing to be in the hands of an angry God. If your sins remain hidden, you can continue to live a life as a Christian, but you see, you're always blocked from the real presence of God because God is holy. Who is your God? God is a holy God. He will not have sin in His presence. And so if you carry unconfessed sin in your presence, you will not enter into His presence. It's just as simple as that. There is a wall built between you and God that only Christ can break down. He is the real demolition man. But He will only break it down for you if you repent of your sins, and you will only know that you have a need to repent if you allow the Holy Spirit, even through a preacher, to convict you of your sin. You know, you could hide your sin, continue to live as you are, and just never, ever say anything. Or God could create a situation in which your sin became exposed to everybody. And then you would repent, and then you would absolutely, without question, seek His forgiveness and His mercy. Which do you think God prefers? God prefers that you would turn to Him. God wants you to. That's why He sent His Son. Today, we think that prophecy is something like telling the future, but that's not what prophecy is in the Old Testament. There are many people who preach to you on radio and television and from pulpits like this, from places of speaking stands and all kinds of places. They're speaking with their actions as well as their words, and they are preaching a gospel to you. It may not be the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is a gospel. You hear it from the talking heads on television all the time. You hear it sometimes on commercials, which try to convince you to go for the gusto. Seize the day. That if you just eat Kellogg's cornflakes, you'll live a happy life. And that if you invest in the right ways in gold and silver, you'll live a secure life. They try to tell you all kinds of things. And yet, that word that is expressed sometimes by preachers is mangled up with opinion because those people have not yielded themselves before the awesome Word of God. We have to be discerning, and we have to understand that we too need to yield ourselves between the awesome Word of God, that we need to do that. It's not the same today as it was in Old Testament times. In Old Testament times, God spoke through the prophets. The prophets were given a unique opportunity, a unique situation where they were in the very counsel of God. You read in the Scriptures where God says, I'm going to put a burning coal on your tongue. You will be my mouthpiece. You will speak exactly the words that I tell you to speak. You will hear those words and you will repeat those words verbatim. That is, without distortion, without any kind of spin, that you will tell the people exactly what I want the people to know. There is a sense in which the role of the prophet is the exact polar opposite of the role of the priest. The priest intercedes to God on behalf of the people. That's the priestly function. That's why we are a priesthood of believers. That's why we believe in praying for one another, to present to God the needs that we have in our life. That's why we pray to God for those people who are suffering today, who may be here, who may be around the world. But we actively engage in a priesthood of belief. But there is a difference in the activity of a prophet. A prophet speaks the word of God on God's behalf to the people. So a priest speaks on behalf of people to God, and a prophet speaks to people on behalf of God. You understand the difference? The difference is that all of us are afraid to hear the voice of God come to us. Because, as the psalmist said, He lifts His voice and the earth melts. That is why the people who were liberated from their bondage in Egypt came to the mountain where God appeared, and they heard His voice, and they said, oh no! And they tried to find a place that they could stick their head in the sand. And they asked Moses to go for them, to hear for them the things that they didn't want to hear themselves. That they said, we'll listen to you tell us in a human voice the things that God told you to do, and we'll obey them, but we want someone between us and God. And God, in His mercy, used prophets for that purpose. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, forgive my many sins. Forgive all of our sins. Cast our sins away as far as the east is from the west, into the sea of Your forgetfulness. May they never be remembered again. Father, we come before You confessing that we have sinned. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Holy Spirit, allow us each to know what displeases God in us. And Father, I ask that You would cast my words out, that they too would never be remembered again, that the only word we shall hear is the word that You made flesh. We ask that Your voice be heard by everyone here, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that You would speak to us in our own language, that You would have Your way with us, that we would hear Your commands and follow them, that we would know that it is You who is speaking. Father, give us discernment to understand what You want to say to us today. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel? We're going to look at 2 Samuel 12, starting with the first verse. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had brought and nurtured. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay at his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. So he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. God wants us to know. God wants us to understand. Sometimes I will discuss with someone a principle of the Scripture, and they will say, well, that's just your interpretation. Or that's just an interpretation of somebody. No, it's not. I want you to look in 2 Peter for just a moment, please. In 2 Peter, verses 20 through 21, knowing this verse, that no prophet of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible claims to be the Word, the living Word of God. That's what it says. The Bible records the words of God spoken to the prophets. Christians believe in a God who speaks. We believe in a God who speaks. He tells us what He wants us to know. He has done that in the past. He does it today. And He will do it in the future, for we know that in the future He will speak to us again. There is a big difference between the interpretation or the opinions of men and the words of God. On the way over here today, Sandra and I were listening to a radio, and I will not say who we were listening to, but we just turned on the radio and we were listening to someone who was preaching. And the person who was preaching said, and I'll try to quote them exactly, said, if you want to know about the Holy Spirit, you just read from John, you read from this, you read from that, you read Romans, this will tell you everything about the Holy Spirit of God. Just don't read it while I'm preaching. That meant to me, and I must admit, I look at these things rather critically, that meant to me that what they were saying was more important than what God said. Because anyone wasn't reading it. They wanted to keep it to themselves. We need to understand the reason that God speaks through His prophets. And the reason that He speaks through His prophets and not directly to us sometimes is to protect us. He speaks precise words so they can be spoken precisely, so that we can hear them and in our spirits know that they are true. Peter tells us that the prophets didn't write by automatic writing. They weren't dictated to in such a way that they sat down and wrote. No, he says that they were carried away by the great wind. You know, we just had some storms and there have been leaves blowing around all over the place and tree limbs and all kinds of things blowing in the wind. And they are tossed about wherever the wind goes. Jesus says of the wind, with to Nicodemus who asked about being born again, he says, who can tell where the wind comes from and where it goes? We don't know, but we do know this, that these men who wrote the words of God came from different places. They had different personalities, but all the words of God conform with His Word. Every single one of them. You couldn't do this if you did automatic writing. You could not put together a novel where all the people, no matter what their denomination, no matter where they came from in life, no matter whether they were rich or poor, would write the same thing, and yet the Bible is consistent throughout. Because God carries people away on the wind of the Holy Spirit. As an example of how God's words are caught up by the prophets. They're caught up as though they were moved by an unseen hand. And this great and mighty wind moves them. Men are not in control of the process. You know, if a man is in control of the process, if he can tell you every little thing from his own knowledge, then it is worthless to us because there's no revelation there at all. None. We can't know in our spirits because the man is just spoken to our minds, to our emotions. The Spirit of God is like that wind. Nobody knows where it comes from. Nobody knows where it goes. They're not applying, these men are not applying deductive logic. You know, I've heard many Bible teachers say systematically this is what it happens because they're trying to apply deductive logic to God to try to understand what He's saying. The Bible says that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. You don't find out by trying to put God in a box. You get out of the box and allow God to indwell you. Then you can find out what God wants you to do. These people are carried away by the wind. If you ask yourself the question, how did Nathan know about David's cover-up? Did David tell Nathan, oh, by the way, I slept with Bathsheba. I sent Uriah the Hittite, her husband, when I found out she was pregnant, out to die. I was complicit in his killing? No. God told Nathan. God revealed to Nathan all the things that David had done that were offensive to God. That's how God used the prophet. He wanted David to know. And so Nathan, he hears this of God. Now, he's been a double-minded person. Nathan hasn't been perfect. There's no prophet that's perfect. Nathan gave his opinion to David. He said, David, listen, what you want to do is a great thing. Go and do it. You want to build a house for God instead of having Him dwell among His people in that little tent someplace? You go out and do it. Go for it. Everything you touch turns to gold. Go for it. Go for the gold. God beat Nathan up for that. Because God's advice was not sought. God didn't want to live in a temple made by hands. He wanted to be amongst His people. Nathan, when he hears God telling him what to do, suddenly pulls up his pants, buckles up his spirit, emboldens himself, and goes before the king. And through this interesting parable, he tells David all about this rich man and poor man's land. And David, listening to it, gets more and more angry. He gets angrier and angrier until he finally just explodes in judgment and comes down hard against whoever this man was, this rich man who took the poor man's ewe. And Nathanael looks directly in David's eyes. And Nathan says, you are the man. You are the man. He called it as he saw it. David yielded to temptation. He walked on the dark side. But God, by an act of grace, sent His prophet Nathan to speak to him and to bring him back into the light. The prophets were not just prosecuting attorneys, bringing God's case against the people. They were also wise counselors. They were attempting for people to understand what their sin was and how God hated it and how they could live in peace and quiet and fulfillment. He wanted them to know. And that's why the prophet spoke, to show God's grace and mercy, not just to condemn people. But prophets were tested. They were despised, they were hated, they were brutalized, and sometimes even killed. Jesus said that a prophet was not even honored in his own village, his own town, his own place. They were the Rodney Dangerfields of God. The people that got no respect. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and he wept for the people. He told the people, if you continue down this line, this is what God's going to do. He's going to put you in bondage. But they didn't hear Jeremiah. Jeremiah may have had two converts, two, in his entire ministry, and we're not even sure of those two. Jeremiah, though, wept trying to tell people about God and what God wanted of them. God finally, in the fullness of time, sent His own Son. Look at Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir to all things. Through Him also He made the world. See, God sent His Word to men in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God's Word came and became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the first and the last Word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and He is the living Word of God. He is the first Word that is spoken. Let there be light was spoken by Jesus. By Him all things were created, including light. And He is the last Word. He is the Word. And therefore, He is our prophet who is telling us the Word of God. All the other prophets, they point toward Jesus. Jesus alone points toward Himself and toward His Father. There is no further Word beyond Jesus. I'm sorry, all the other religions in the world that came after Jesus was on the ground. Jesus was on the cross. Jesus was in the ground and lifted up again. All the religions that came after that are invalid because there is no other Word. His is the Word of God. Jesus becomes the one who is our Word. He is our teacher. He is the greatest teacher who has ever lived because He gives us the true, accurate Word of God. Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. When I only say the things the Father tells Me to say. So He is totally obedient to God. In John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50, it says, "For I have spoken on My own authority." Not spoken on My own authority, but the Father who sent Me gave Me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told Me, so I speak. Jesus is that Word. He is a prophet, but He is so much more than a prophet. The role of the prophet is embodied and fulfilled by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament, Jesus said that when the Spirit came, He would convict the world of sin. He would convict the world of righteousness and judgment. That the Holy Spirit's job in each of our lives is to expose to our own conscience the ways in which we fall short of the glory of God. Jesus spoke of Himself as a prophet, but He was more than that. He was the one that the disciples decided was so much more. because no prophet ever said, I and the Father are one. No prophet ever claimed that. No prophet ever said that he was going to be with the Father. And who has seen him had seen the Father. No one had said the Father and I are one. Nobody but Jesus. Jesus was so much more. And he has sent his own Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to reveal sin, it says here, to us. Bring that sin that's hidden in the darkness. It says in John that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Jesus is sent as the light of the world to dispel the darkness so that we can see how pathetic we really are, how sinful we really are. That is why he does it. And he allows us to, like the prodigal son, come to ourselves to have a aha moment. To say, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was like that. So that we can repent and be restored. David could have used his excuses to hide his sin. Could have said to Nathan, hey, Nathan, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not the man you think I am. No, no. I mean, Bathsheba threw herself at me. She came on to me. There's a kernel of truth in that. Because Bathsheba sunbathed in a place where she knew that the palace was over her and she knew that the king walked there in the cool of the evening. She knew that. He could have used that as an excuse. He could have said, oh, wait a minute, Nathan. You don't know what it's like to be married to Saul's daughter. I mean, she's on me all the time. She gripes. She's always on to me. You know, that marriage is over. I mean, she... Ugh. And there was truth to that. Didn't use that. He could have said, hey, I know I've done wrong. But all the guys before me, man, they were really bad. They did things that were even worse than me. And surely there is a kernel of truth in that as well. He didn't use any excuse. It is a lesson to each of us that we should never use an excuse. We should, like David, say, I have sinned against the Lord. That is the way we should respond. I have sinned against the Lord. I know that I am not nearly what I should be because I have fallen. I have fallen from grace. I have fallen out of relationship with God. Would you confess that today? Is the Holy Spirit enlightening you so that you can see all the flaws? You know, the story of Dorian Gray is a picture. And in the picture, a portrait of Dorian Gray was done. And he made a deal with the devil. So all of his sins appeared on the portrait, not upon himself. He lived for years and years and years as a young man. But his portrait became more and more hideous all the time. That's living with your sins in a closet, hiding them. That's what happens. I look in the mirror, I can see sins all over me. Can you see those sins? Are you willing to confess those sins? When God's Word hurts you, when people tell me, man, I should have had steel-toed boots today, because you really got all over my toes. Come on. When God's Word hurts you, you have two choices. One choice is to get angry with God about the fact that He has exposed you. The other is to confess that He is right. He is always right. That His Word is true. And all men are liars. You know, you can stay on that spiritual casualty list, or you can be restored to a living, loving relationship with God. The result of David's honest confession was that he was restored. He was taken back into God's life. And his conscience, which had pained him, because you know that it had pained him all the time when he looked at Bathsheba. You knew that when his own son died of that encounter with Bathsheba, that things were bad. And yet, he confessed honestly. And that led to forgiveness. The pain of that suppressed conscience was released into the joy of his salvation. The Bible says if we are faithful to confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will not forget our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what happened to David. And that is what can happen to each of us today. When the Word of God is spoken, and it's a fearful thing to hear the Word of God, you want Him to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You don't want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Whether you hide your sin, or you're willing to be honest and confess it, determines whether or not you will receive God's forgiveness, grace, mercy, and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.